Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
Yes, this is the National Obsession with me, John Cadogan, and the fact that I'm leading the proceedings off can mean only one thing. And it's that I'm here in the studio in London's glamorous Waterloo by myself.
Yes.
Joining us by Alexander Graham Bell's wonderful telephone. Well, I mean, it wasn't his. I mean, he got a newer one than that. It's Charlie Baker.
Hello.
Charlie, how are you?
I am where they call South of Trowell.
Which sees...
Leicester.
Is South that where you Trowell. Are?
That's what the Leicester Marketing Board started to say. I know they found King. Who was it? King Richard? King,
Richard III. Yeah.
In a car park.
In a car park.
They've dropped that, and they now say we're just south of Trowell.
The Richard III was very much, they believe, the key to Leicester's turnaround,
yeah,
wasn't it? And revival, winning the Premier League, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I have other theories.
About Leicester's win of the league, but I can't say them legally on a public platform.
No, you can't. I think I know what you're going to say, but no, you definitely can't. But I do wonder if Torquay's turnaround was partly to do with Gary Johnson, but I wonder if they uncovered sort of a dead monarch in
oh, yes.
like the Willows or something.
Tor Abbey Gardens.
Yeah. Maybe they uncovered a comedian who died on stage at like the pavilions or something.
Few of those.
The summer season in the 70s.
Exactly, yeah. That maybe, yeah, someone like that had turned up, like, not one of the crankies, they're both still alive.
Yeah, they're still very much with us.
One of the Grumbleweeds.
Oh, yes, you mentioned them before.
Maybe we need to bring the Grumbleweeds back on this podcast.
This is the most...
International obsession, John. We've not mentioned football once.
Well, I mean, we've only been going a minute. We don't want to go too early.
Many apologies for... I'm in Leicester, the Skype isn't working, and we couldn't have another blank week, John.
No.
And then I'm in Devon for the rest of the week for half term. The downside is, podcast on the phone line. Upside is, I get to go to see Torquay Dulwich Hamlet, and I get to go to Trago Mills, and I get to see the world's tallest goalkeeper.
I mean, you are living the dream there.
I am.
Let's
I've
be honest.
My shirt, John. I've forgotten my new shirt.
Oh, no. Oh. Well, I wore mine for the first time on Saturday, and it's a lovely piece of kit.
But,
it's
John,
very nice.
They lost.
They did
they
lose.
Lost.
Yeah.
They lost.
They did lose. There is that.
As the National Obsession is the away kit sponsor, official away kit sponsor of Liam Davis, talking about his left back. Since we've sponsored him away, I think we've lost more away games than
we've
won.
Well, I did have to say, I mean, Liam Davis was pretty much directly responsible for Welling's second goal.
Oh,
two
don't
missed
say
tackles.
That,
in the chat, we paid £150 for this!
were you trying to get a photo with him at the time?
Like,
I'm due a photo! Where's my end of season party ticket?
More on that game in Talkie yeah. Corner.
We'll talk about it later, but you know my thing, John. If you get cocky, the girls get cocky.
Yeah.
It all falls apart. It's Woking tonight. Woking yeah. play their game in hand tonight. Could they go top tonight, John?
They could go top tonight. I think we should have a little, before the end of this podcast, a little sort of ritualistic, like a rain
yes.
dance,
oh,
sort
yes.
of a Hemel. Can we celebrate
yeah.
all that's good about Hemel before the end of this podcast? I think we better had.
What is good about Hemel? Let's find out. Hey, John, what's coming up in the podcast?
Let's work it out, because I'm not sure either of us have much of an idea.
Have we got some news?
Plenty of news. News
are
plenty.
Oh, lovely. Now, I'm assuming we've got some stuff from last week's head show.
I mean, I can neither confirm nor deny that this is going to be a rehash of last week's lost episode. There will be
the
a certain element
show.
Of that. Yes, that is, for those who for some reason weren't with it, last week's episode is lost forever. Stuck.
The lost
it's
show.
Stuck
it's
in shame. A building in London Bridge, and we can't get it off any of the computers there.
Imagine it.
So,
if only it was the Christmas episode.
At some point, those computers will be hopefully connected to the internet, which would be helpful, and then we can release that episode like a lost dad's army.
Yeah,
that
we'll
the BBC,
go,
you know, deleted. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. What else we got? Well, I think we've got to hear from the another little children's story from the just something for the kids. With the tiny little goalies of the National League South.
Yeah, we will. We'll be hearing that. We'll have a little focus on. We're focusing on the North at the moment, so we'll bring that to you.
Yes, lovely.
Talkie Corner, match reports.
Talkie Corner, maybe some letters, John.
Maybe some letters as well.
All in there, isn't it?
It's all there, really, isn't it? What more could
very,
you
very
want,
good.
For goodness sakes?
Hey, can I just give a little shout-out and a big thank you to Mr. Garley, one who's FOF number... Oh, John, have we sorted
it's a,
that out
It's
yet?
A low number. Well...
That is it. That is a disgrace.
The FOF
You're
situation
in charge.
Is a complete farce. We gave out a FOF number 2 weeks ago to someone who already had one.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Okay, double FOF. It was double FOF.
It's the first ever double FOF. but I need to find the episode where we did a roll call, and then I'll make a definitive
yeah.
list. The problem is I can't remember which episode that was.
The problem is you can't be bothered is the real answer.
Well, there's only so much time in the day.
That might be a job for Gammy Knee.
Do you know what? That is a great idea, because he doesn't do much for his days.
Exactly.
Right, you're right. I'm seeing him this weekend. So we'll. Yeah, very good idea.
Hey, what news have we got?
Better start in the National League. A few shock results this weekend, to be honest. Makes the title race very interesting in the National League. To start off away from that, Hartlepool won 4-0 at Boreham Wood. Two goals, my old mate, Nick Kabamba. Nick Kabamba. He scored two.
I can't join in too much on the music because
no, you can't.
There's a huge lag.
Wrexham, they won 3-2 at Havant, so Wrexham pushing their way back at the table. Leighton Orient lost 1-0 at home to Maidenhead, which all means it's all very much worked in the favour of our favourite team, Solihull Moors.
Yes.
Who remain top of the league. A 2-2
draw
with Barnet.
That draw looked like a bad result, and then everybody else lost.
Yeah,
John.
So fantastic news. Solihull Moors are top of the league with 64 points. Solihull did release some news this week. They're going to improve Damson Park. It's just, I think I'm a bit worried about this. It's they've gone a bit early. They're going to improve Damson Park to meet Football League requirements.
Oh, they shouldn't have announced that.
Yeah, I know. They said
work
will be undertaken over three phases, will be completed by July 2020. The first phase includes installing over a 1,000 capacity all-seater stand before Saturday. I don't quite know whether they're just bringing it in on a truck or something. I don't know. But yeah, the first
the
phase one.
Happening.
Phase one
what
done
the
by Saturday.
What is happening at Solihull Moors?
I would just keep it. I think keep it on the down low, Solihull. Come on, we want you to go up. Other interesting results as well. Dennis Politic scored a goal reminiscent of New Salford co-owner David Beckham. He scored it for Salford. David Beckham was there to watch Dennis Politic scoring a goal from the halfway line. He's obviously got his own current affairs show, The Week in Politic, which only goes out in Salford. But Dover did fight back in that game, boosted their survival hopes with a surprise away win at Salford, 3-1.
Wasn't that lovely, David Beckham turning up to see that?
It was, yeah, it was good.
Welcome to the National League.
He also saw Bobby Joe Taylor, our old mate, scoring for Dover. Bobby Joe Taylor. Country and Western singer Bobby Joe Taylor, of course.
Old BJT.
So that was the National League. So, yeah, Solihull Moors on top, Wrexham, Leighton Orient, Fylde, Salford, Gateshead and Sutton in the playoffs.
It's
and still
so tight, John. It's so tight.
Very tight.
I can't tell you who's going to win it.
Down at the bottom, Havant and Waterlooville, Aldershot seem for all the money like they're dead
out.
And buried. Maidstone and Braintree.
Tell me about the National League South.
I was going to say, should we drop down into the National League South? Yes, we'll very much go up into the National League South. It was Billericay 2, Eastbourne 0. Eastbourne, by the way, announced a new manager today. Did you see Mark McGee?
I once had a curry, not with him, next to him.
Oh, okay. That's a bit of a showbiz story, isn't it?
Pangbourne in Berkshire.
Hold on, I think we should...
So, I was in... I'm talking probably 20 years ago, John.
Yeah.
We were in, I'm going to say, the Eastern Eye in Pangbourne. That's the curry house I use in Newton Abbot.
They sponsored Torquay for a little while, weren't they? Back of the shirt sponsors.
They?
Yeah, they were, I think so.
Yeah. And I said, I looked next to us, there was Mark McGee.
What was he doing
there? Having a curry, John.
What on earth was he doing in Newton Abbot?
No, he wasn't in Newton Abbot. I'm saying the Eastern Eye. This was in Pangbourne.
Oh, right.
Just outside Reading. He was Reading manager.
John. Oh, I see. Sorry.
That's what he was doing there.
Right.
But I couldn't remember the name of the Pangbourne curry house. So not to be racist and just make something up.
Well, yes, but
I went with the definite name of a curry house I'd been in.
So I was trying to work out why he'd be in Newton Abbot. I mean, maybe he's a fan of Traego Mills. I mean, who knows? But
Mark McGee isn't a fan of Traego?
He lives in Brighton. He's local to Eastbourne. Oh, he's a former Brighton manager. And so he's dropped down to help Eastbourne for the rest of the season. Other scores in the National League South. It was Chelmsford 1, East Thurrock 0. So Chelmsford keeping up the pressure.
They're coming. Don't question the National.
As the National said, they're keeping up the pressure at the top. They've cut that deficit now. They're on 56 points. We're top with 60. So it's all to play for.
National News, actually, on our Twitter feed, at NatObsPod, Matty Hayward's been in touch, sent us something about Barnet. It's Martin Allen returns to the Hive, and he's there, but he's just doing a talk. But that's obviously what the Grand Nationale meant.
Oh, I see. Oh, a way out. Not a way out. It's obviously what he's predicting.
100% record.
He's not doing badly.
Still not doing badly, John. He's perfect because still 100% record.
If he is correct about Chelmsford winning the National League South,
it will be the most unbelievable thing.
I'm going to punch the Grand Nationale live on air.
Smack in the face.
I'm going to whack him in the chops. If he's right.
It's a shame. Listen. Don't say his name again.
Exactly.
And also, I can't do his voice. Why you wanna punch me, John? Why you wanna punch me?
Also in the National League South, it was Concord Rangers 2, Bath 1. So Bath...
Really blowing it.
Two goals for Concord from Alex Wall, as the late, great Dale Winton would say.
Ring on the wall!
That's what they say when they bring him off the bench, obviously.
Yeah, very good.
It was Dulwich 3, Hemel Hempstead 3. Hemel were 3-0 up before half-time. Dulwich pulled it back. Last-minute equaliser from Dakari Sheriff. We shot Dakari Sheriff, but didn't shoot his deputy. Yeah, exactly, all that. Slough 2, Dartford 2. Slough had Matthew Lench playing for them. May as well use him now, as I have to give him up just after Pancake Day. and Woking 2, Western Supermare 1.
Boo-wee. Hey, Woking.
The National League North happened too, although, in fact, a little bit of news to bring you. Kidderminster, they lost 2-1 at home to York, but Kidderminster's goal was scored by the one and only Joe Ironside.
Da, da, da.
He wheeled himself onto the pitch.
Wheeled him there, mate.
Anyway, I think that's all the news.
All the news on the National Obsession.
The National Obsession.
This is the National Obsession with me, John Cadogan, and Charlie Baker. Now, Charlie,
hello.
I understand we have another instalment in the long-running series.
I thought it was going to come and go very quickly, the tiny little goal. It's a tiny little goal in the match itself. And then there was a sudden plot twist.
Yes.
So I think it's covered in this week's story. I don't know. We'll find out. The tiny little goalies of the National League South.
Lovely.
Hello. Welcome to the tiny little goalies of the National League South. I'm in a grump, said little Harvey Rivers, 5'3". Me too, said Tom Lovelock, 5'2". Well, despite being a goalkeeper and so a massive man, other players, the average-sized outfield ones, keep chipping the ball over my head. Me too, said Tom Lovelock, 5'2". And they started to cry. Suddenly, the sky went dark and the sun disappeared. Is this the end of the world? Said Harvey. Then he cried some more. Suddenly, a very distant voice from far away said,
Hello, lads. Is this the NLS goalie club?
Where's that coming from? Said Tom.
Look here,
said the voice. They looked up, and way up in the sky was the world's tallest goalie, Simon Block Jorgensen. Hello, shouted Harvey. Who are you?
I'm Simon, but you can call me Simon DJ.
I'm the
world's tallest goalie. I've just signed for Dulwich Hamlet. I heard you crying. What about?
Being chipped, said Harvey.
Well, I get chipped all the time, even me. The world's tallest goalkeeper, Simon DJ.
Well, that makes me feel a lot better, said Tom Lovelock.
Right, good,
said Simon BJ.
Let's get out of here before that
Daniel Wilkes gets here and tries to break our f***ing legs. And that was the tiny little goalkeepers of the National League South.
Didn't like the sound of that baddie at the end.
He sounded terrible, wasn't he?
Well, I don't like the sound
of it. What an awful bloke.
I'm sure he's a terrible, terrible man. I'm sure we'll hear a bit more about him later on in Talkie Corner. But there we are. I think that was it, John. I wonder if we'll get another instalment. We'll keep an eye on them.
The National Obsession.
It's time. The focus on...
Alfreton.
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 I've been there. I don't know. I've been to Altrincham.
They're all the same, aren't they?
No way, John. You will be in so much trouble.
I'm never going to Alfreton, so...
Oh, right, okay.
I won't worry about it.
Tell me about Alfreton, John.
So, Alfreton, the club was formed in 1950... I don't have to do this. It was following the merger of Alfreton Miners Welfare and Alfreton United. A ground on North Street was provided by the council. They spent 2 years in the Central Alliance League before switching to the Midlands League in 1961. They stayed there for a bit in the 80s. They went into Northern Counties League. And then spent most of the next sort of 20 years or so in the Premier Division of the Northern Counties. Finished fourth in 2003-2004, which meant that they got placed into the brand new Conference North. In their first few seasons in the Conference North, they were sort of lower mid-table. But in 2008-2009, got into the...
In a minute, mate. Yeah, thanks. Oh, sorry, carry on, John. I am listening.
2008-09, finished third in the Conference North, got into the playoffs, but didn't go up. Another unsuccessful playoff campaign followed the next season before they won the Conference North in 2011, earning promotion to the Conference National for the first time. 2014-15 relegated back to the National League North, where they've been ever since. They've won a few squad players, includes proper Northern players, goalkeeper Sam Ramsbottom. goal. Defender Joshua Claxton. They also have Adam Curry. I often pop around Adam Curry's house for dinner. They also have
I'm just not interested in them, John.
They also have Declan Bacon. Plays for them. Obviously, great first thing in the morning. You've got to get Declan.
Not bothered. Not bothered.
Would you be more interested if you knew they had a player called David Lynch? Obviously, not the
daughter.
Not the surrealist film director. I mean, it is quite close to the Peak District, Twin Peak District. I don't know.
He insists on a blue velvet kit. Insists. Everywhere he goes.
The manager is a proper northern, Billy Heath. And it is a shame. It's a shame, really, the chairman isn't called Cliff. So when he phones me, he goes, Heath, Cliff. It's me.
Ah, lovely.
Yeah. Do you want a few sort of notable people from Alfreton?
I think we have to, don't we? We have to try.
You're out of luck.
Keep trying.
You're out of luck, I'm afraid, because there's absolutely nobody.
No one there.
A painter who died in 1983.
Who is that?
Norman Whitehead.
Oh, I bet he's good.
Do you reckon? I've never heard of him.
Didn't he play at age of 17 in the FA Cup?
I think he did. I mean, just absolutely nobody. A civil engineer from the 1700s. It's nothing.
What's his name?
Benjamin Outram.
There we are.
I'm with you. I don't care.
I can't get up for it. Can you, John?
I'm finding this so far. I mean, we've only done two, but...
Anyway, was that Focus On, John?
I think so, in the absence of anything more interesting.
Focus on Alfreton.
The National Obsession.
You're listening to The National Obsession with me, Charlie Baker, live from south of Trowell.
Yes.
Services Leicester. And John Cardigan back there in the studio. Good to hear you, John.
Oh, thank you.
Now, just before we get to Talkie Corner, my friend rang me earlier with a really good quiz question. Classic sketch show. This is the clue, John. Classic sketch show 4535. That's the numbers of...
Five.
Like a crossword, you know. Classic sketch show 4535. You might be a bit young for it, is all I'm thinking. Anyway... Let's put it out there, at NatObsPod. You can find us on Twitter if you want to try and answer that.
Four, five, three.
Come on, John. Interesting, isn't it?
Can I have a clue?
No. I don't believe in clues. Anyway, should we go to Talkie Corner?
Yeah, better
introduce it, John.
Okay, this time it's time for a Talkie. I've messed that up completely. This time it's time for Talkie Corner.
Off, Lino, you. Sort it out for f***ing sake. F***ing rubbish. Run faster, you f***ing f***ing. Referee, you bastard. Are you from f***ing Cornwall?
Oi. I mean, not to put too fine a point in it, but every time I mention Welling now, I'm going to have to sing this song because I'm not going back. And I am Welling United.
Lovely.
I'm never going back to Welling ever again.
Even if we get them in the playoffs, John.
No, three times I've been now. We never win. It's bloody awful. It's a horrible ground. It's a horrible area. It's just crap. I hate it. I hate it.
He hates Welling. Welling. No. Oh, gosh. Was it awful, John?
It was bad. I mean, look, in the context of the season, it's a blip. I've seen us perform a lot worse down the years. Yeah. But it was just one of those where we didn't perform, and you can take that. But it's when
no one came out the blocks.
No, they didn't come out the blocks. You think, well, it's okay, fine. We've been beaten. But it's when you get beaten and then the other team starts doing the taking 10 minutes to take every free kick and falling over and their manager's on the sideline being an arse. And fans are loving it. And I just hate it. I don't blame them for it because, you know, if I was a Welling fan, I know exactly what I'd be wanting them, my players to do. Exactly. But as an opposition fan, it's so annoying. I hate
that. Sounded like we got beaten up, John. Did we get beaten up?
They were probably the most cynical and negative team I've ever seen us play. But we didn't play our game. We kind of fell into their hands. We lowered ourselves to their level. And I mean, all their keeper, as I put it up on my Twitter, their keeper. Yeah. Wiped out Jake Andrews outside the box with a tackle sort of just below the knee. It should have been a red card. If an outfield player had done it, it's a red card.
Yeah.
The referee, who was abysmal all afternoon, only gave a yellow. And from that point, we sort of just kind of lost our heads, really. The referee let Welling's players get in his ear, and he didn't give us anything all afternoon. Sent Kyle Cameron off. It was daft from Kyle Cameron, but it was two of the softest yellow cards we've ever seen. Yeah. But it's exactly what Welling wanted, and it was that gamesmanship, professional performance from Welling.
That sort of team, that's what they do, isn't it? So they know how to do it.
It's so frustrating.
Really good at doing that.
They were appalling individual footballers. Like when we strung a few passes together, we had a few moves that they just couldn't cope with our passing.
No.
When we actually did it, it was brilliant, and we ran rings around them. But we only did it.
Why didn't we do that?
We did it. Like a handful of times.
Where's Opie
and Edwards? It was just massively frustrating.
Why is Kalala not playing?
I don't know.
They're my question.
The whole team lost their heads and had an off day. The fans lost their heads. At one point, I called the Welling physio the rudest word you can.
No,
and that was the physio.
Because one of their players
went down feigning an injury. And then the physio just sort of trotted on at like half speed. And that tipped me over the edge at that point.
Oh dear! Oh, it's a shame. But look, we're going to have these results. It's Torquay United, John.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't win all the time. We never do.
We do seem to when teams get a bit physical, like Bath, like Billericay did earlier in the season, like Woking did. We don't quite rise to the occasion. So Gary has got to kind of sort that out. But like you said, we're not going to keep winning to the end of the season. Neither are Woking, neither are Chelmsford.
Yeah,
it's Torquay Dulwich on Saturday. Dulwich in the relegation mire. Hopefully, we win that. But crucially, it's Woking Hemel on Tuesday night. And if you like, just if you like, you know, as we look to kind of spur Hemel Hempstead on, and obviously by the time this comes out, we'll actually know how Hemel have done, but we don't.
Come on,
so
Hemel.
To work a bit of the National Obsession magic, would you like some of the best things about Hemel Hempstead?
Yes, please.
Hemel Hempstead is famous for its magic roundabout.
Oh, yes.
One like in Swindon.
Yeah.
A roundabout with about six mini roundabouts in it.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, it's got
the way out.
Yes, famous magic roundabout. Hemel Hempstead claims to have the first purpose-built freestanding multi-storey car park in Britain.
Oh, that's interesting, John. I like that. Yeah.
It's quite good, isn't it?
It's a good one, yeah.
At the Heathrow Airport holding area, known as the Bovingdon Stack, lies just west of Hemel.
Bovingdon Stack is a euphemism.
On a clear day, several circling aircraft can be visible in the sky.
Oh, on a clear day, several circling aircraft can be seen in the sky. Carry on.
Hemel Hempstead also has an indoor ski slope.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
You know what? I quite like the sound of Hemel.
I might move there.
Hemel.
I'm not going to move there. But I like
it. I'm going to say, what? Any more, John? So I'm going to give you a score prediction.
Would you like any famous people from Hemel? I feel like we've done famous people from Hemel in a focus on at some point.
Yeah, we've done it before. I think that's all the good stuff. The indoor ski slope is what took it for me, to be honest.
Also, Roger Moore used to live there. So he would say, tonight I am going to be cheering on Hemel.
Hemel Hempstead.
Hemel Hempstead.
John, I'm saying to all.
The name's Hempstead.
I'm saying to all to you. To all, John.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see Hemel getting a draw.
To all.
Come on, Hemel.
Come on, you Hemels. What are they then? What? What are they?
I don't know. Should we look it up?
John, for God's sake, you shouldn't know this sort of thing.
The Tudors. They're called the Tudors.
Of course they're the Tudors, John.
Come on, the Tudors.
Come on, you Tudors.
The National Obsession.
It's time for letters from a listener.
When you go, will you say? send back a letter from a listener. Hell. Christ.
What a shame.
Oh, God.
What and what people don't know is last week, we did it a cappella.
Yeah.
And it was we were flipping brilliant last week.
It actually gave me tingles. It gave me like
considering a folk career.
We were so good. Just another reason, so I think, good. To release that great unreleased episode when I ever get my hands on it.
If you ever find it, John. Hey, John, any letters?
Yes. We better start with, this is now we're looking back 2 weeks ago. Lee Pettifer. Remember,
last week's letters, this week.
Well, exactly. A couple of last weeks, a couple of this week's. Lee Pettifer got in touch 2 weeks ago talking about rebuses. Remember National League rebuses?
Oh, yes.
Badges rebuses, with sort of images that describe the club, like Barrow, a bee with an arrow through it.
We could not work out.
And then he gave us a few of his own rebuses. So it was Gemma Collins in front of a small village for a trendy South London outfit, which was Dulwich Hamlet. And then the other one he gave us, which we couldn't work out, was the former Notts County chairman's showreel representing half of the name of a club in Middlesex.
Yeah, we could not get this, could we, John?
It'd been a long day and we couldn't work it out. Anyway, Lee follows it up saying, "On the ice, gentlemen, many apologies for almost torturing you with last week's missive about rebuses or maybe rebuy. Just to say that the Middlesex club alluded to was Hampton and Richmond. Hampton is rhyming slang for a derived from the settlement across the river from Kingston, Hampston Wick. So there we go.
Yes, I get it. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Excellent. Very, very good.
Very, very good.
Gammy Knee gets in touch. Hello, Gammy.
The top letters from Gammy Knee.
Oh, yes, another top letter. He says, "Good evening, Charlie, John and Joan. I hope this email finds the three of you in good health." He says, set yourself in, everyone. He says, "I thought you'd be interested in the results of my accidental research into the history of the National Obsession. Last week..."
I like that he's cataloguing it, John.
He says, "Last week, completely by mistake, I managed to click on the wrong episode of the podcast and found myself listening to episode 8. In the best tradition of Mastermind, I'd started, so decided I would finish. And what a great listen it was.
Oh.
You may not realise it, but that episode marked the first airing of so many of the features of the podcast that we now enjoy. Number one, the first mention for Joan Cardigan.
Oh,
number two, the first live vocal rendition of Letters from a Listener.
Oh, number, the ice.
Number three, the first email. And number four, the first asking of the question, 'What the hell is going on at Solihull Moors?' Episode 8.
Well, we still don't know.
And that's just an ongoing question, isn't it?
Ongoing question.
He says, "Episode 8 needs to be preserved for posterity. Please keep it up. Best regards, Gammy Knee." So we're looking
at Gammy Knee.
Episode 8 is sort of genesis, really.
But with Peter Gabriel.
And it doesn't kind of go on for 58 minutes going absolutely nowhere.
Exactly. I wonder what we wrote about for the first 7 episodes, John.
I dread to think, really.
Give Gammy Knee that job of cataloguing the FOSS for us.
I think he'd love it.
Could then give him treasurer or something. Give him like a false title.
And do you know what? At his age, keeps the mind active. As well.
Archivist, chief archivist, Gammy Knee.
And Nick Garley, Mr. Garley.
Young man, you're too Garley. Oh, I met Nick Garley.
You did.
Nick Garley came to my show.
He says, "Dear Charlie," don't worry about me, Nick. I'm still here. He says, "Thanks for a great night in Leicester. You look taller on the radio. I'd taken my son because I thought it was a family show about goats, but never mind. The stuff on owls."
Different show.
This is cream before jam, isn't it? He says, "The stuff on owls more than made up for it. A fascinating insight." What's the stuff about owls?
The owl stuff is the only rude bit in that show, actually.
Oh, really?
But it's a good bit about an owl.
Can you give us any further tips, or do they have to come and see you in person?
I just talk about what people did in the countryside before anything was invented.
Right.
Really.
Okay.
And one of the things is mainly they definitely... You have to come and see this show. Need it in context.
He says, "Meeting you in person was a tick on our NatObs pod bucket list."
Ah, we have selfies and everything, John.
"Two more to go," says Nick. "We are watching Roger John McClark do some performance work in our local Arndale Centre on Saturday, so that's one of them.
Yeah.
And the second is wish of avoiding John Cardigan is also still on track."
Oh.
No offence, John. Well,
offence
taken. That's horrible.
Why would you even say that? What a horrible thing to say. And you're like the nicest one of the two of us.
You can...
In real life.
We can revoke a FOF number, you know. It's not impossible.
No,
Can be done.
Can't be revoked, John. It can't be revoked, John. Once they're given. I think he's fox number four in it, guys.
Yeah, well,
and
whatever.
We'll find out. On the ice for you, Mr. Garley, and your delightful son, who's a credit to you. Lovely, lovely young man.
And also, to the man who said hello to me on the terraces at Welling, who said you said he was a fan of the podcast, but whose name I've completely forgotten. It was very kind what you said.
Did
he always
stay on the ice?
He did, and he said he always listens in his office, gets loads of people to listen to it. So thank you very much. I only wish I could remember your name.
John, this is a disaster. Yeah. You should have said, thanks so much. Maybe you should write us a letter. We'd really
He should do.
That.
Please get in touch with us, Mystery Man, nationalobsession@gmail.com, because it was really nice to meet you. As we were changing ends, he grabbed me as we were changing ends at Welling. In the anger that ensued over the 45 minutes after I met him, mate, I forgot
you
it.
You just called a physio a c***, so. Is that all the letters, John?
I think that's it.
That's it, all the letters, and that was this week's Letters from a Listener.
When you go, will you send back a letter from a listener?
The National Obsession.
Is that the end, John?
I think that's it.
What a lovely week.
NatObs Pod on Twitter. Send us your letters, nationalobsession@gmail.com. Go onto iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating and a nice review.
Yeah, Talkie Dulwich. I'll be out on Saturday, John. I'm going to go club shop. Anything you want from the club shop, John? Pin badge?
Pin badge? I won't use it. Actually. Yes, I need a new mug. Ooh. Mine broke.
Oh, for the new building. New mug. New building, John. I'll get you a mug, John.
Thanks, mate. That'd be great.
Pick you a mug up, John. Well, that was it. Thanks for listening to the National Obsession. Sorry, I was on the phone.
Yes, there is but one final mystery to solve. 4535.
Yeah. Do a little guess, John?
Can
what
I have
shall
a,
I tell you?
Can I please have a clue? Is it doing my head in?
I'm not going to give you a clue, no. That's it for the National Obsession this week. Get in touch. 4535 at NatObsPod. Cheerio! On the ice!
On the ice!
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.